This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. The shortest intro ever after yesterday's really long one, according to producer Shelby. Blah, 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 blah. Alpha Bucks. Carly, what do we got for tomorrow?
I am just getting Alpha Bucks up as we speak.
More?
Yes, please pad, please pad. Okay, here we go. Load, load, please load. All right.
That's all I got.
Okay, that was the worst padding ever. Okay.
Disagree.
The letter is A for Alpha.
Nice. And is it? No, it wouldn't be A for Alpha.
Oh, no, hold on, wrong guy.
I said it was going to be the shortest podcast intro. I may
sorry,
have lied.
Guys, sorry, sorry. Okay.
She feels the pressure because the
I
boss
really
Dan
do.
Is in the studio with us. And I've got things to do that I need to get on with. And Carly's like freaking out. The boss is sitting over our shoulder.
Do you find this? Whenever you have to rush, you make more mistakes than ever?
No. I'm
okay,
always
just
calm.
Me. Just me.
Just you.
I'm not calm under pressure.
That happens too.
Okay, so your letter is actually S for Sierra.
Nice. My favorite letter.
Okay. Starting with S. Name. I'm trying to find the hardest one.
Yep.
Oh, starting with S. Name. A famous sports person.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Bang. Come at me, bro.
Okay.
What
good,
else is
good
on your
work.
List?
Steve Waugh or Stephanie Rice.
Oh, yeah. Good options.
Yeah.
Say Shaquille O'Neal, but make me happy.
Shaq.
Shaq.
We'd take Shaq.
I'll
as
take
well,
Shaq.
Because then it's quicker and you've got more time.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Yeah. Well, with all that in mind, hopefully we can give you $1,000 tomorrow. But also make sure you're listening and paying attention to the letters because they spill out a word, which is why we knew the first thing that Carly said was wrong.
Yes.
Because it's like, we know.
That would have thrown people off the scent.
It would have ruined everything. Luckily, we saved it. enjoy the podcast. Alan
and Carly. Have you been mistaken for someone? Maybe you look like a famous person or maybe you just look like someone else at your work and you constantly get mistaken for them. 131060. Because Ben Stiller has come out and he said that people confuse him and his long-term friend Adam Sandler all the time.
We also always get mistaken for each other all the time. So it's just like in life, it's always like, yo, Sandler! So we'll like send each other videos of people like going like, hey, Adam, I love you. Thank you.
Love you too, man.
So, yeah, I love you. So
I love the water boy.
Yeah.
Of course, Ben Stiller, Dodgeball,
yeah.
Famous, you know, one of those. And Adam Sandler, you know, Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore. Well, they don't look alike.
Uncut Gems. I don't see it either. And even Adam Sandler's spoken about this as well.
I get to this game recently, and the guy guarding me is a little weirded out. He keeps staring at me, and we're running up and down the court. I said, hey, buddy, I came here to get a sweat, you know, so I'm going to run. You run. We'll get up on each other. It'll be nice, and we'll play basketball. And then he just goes, are you Ben Stiller? I said, yes, I am. And then I realized he thinks I'm Stiller so I can foul a little more than
yeah. Absolutely. So good.
I do not see it either. I don't know where that's coming from. But 131060, have you been mistaken for someone? Maybe you really look like someone famous. I've had it happen to me once. And I don't really look like this person, but I was dressed up in costume. So I think that's why. So one year, it was years ago now, I was hosting Carols by Candlelight. So I was dressed up as an elf and I had my hair, which is red, in two plaits. And the brief was I would go into the crowd and they'll do like a piece to camera that would go up on the big screen.
Okay.
So anyway, I start making my way out of the crowd and all the kids are swarming me and hanging off me. Like, now I know how Justin Bieber feels.
Okay.
Because, and I'm like, what is going on here? And it was at the point where security said, you're going to have to do the cross from behind the stage because the kids were just swarming me like they were going crazy. And I thought, wow, maybe the kids just love me. I don't know.
Obviously radio star Carly Porch.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what my ego thought. So the next day I get on air talking about how I'm big with all the kids in the local town.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mums rings up and says, no, actually, I lied to the kids and told them you were Emma Wiggle.
And so they all thought you were Emma
They
Wiggle.
All thought I was Emma Wiggle.
Wow.
That was not great for the ego. But 131060, have you been mistaken for someone? It could just be someone like Susie from Accounts and you always get mistaken for each other. Or it could be a famous person. I'd love it if someone also followed through. Like someone asked you for a selfie thinking you were someone else and you took that selfie
well,
with them.
I'm always getting mistaken for Brad Pitt around here.
I see
and
that.
It's
yeah.
just so frustrating.
Yeah, I definitely
I'm like,
see
I'm
it.
Just trying to do my job, guys. Oh, Brad Pitt. Oh, no, it's Alan. Like, guys, I'm just... Just trying my hardest. Well, 131060, we want to know, who did you get mistaken for? David, who was it for you?
How you going, guys? It was Ricky Ponting.
Ricky Ponting.
Hey, that's cool.
Did you get free drinks out of it? How did it go, David?
No, I've been mistaken for Ricky a few times.
Really?
At the time, I had a quick morning breakfast with a friend at a cafe, and yeah, the owner of the cafe told a delivery guy that I was Ricky Ponting's brother.
Okay.
He called me, and I didn't really know the bloke. He said, "Punter." I put my hand up to wave, acknowledge.
I love that.
Did you get a free breakfast out of that at least?
The delivery guy walked away thinking I was Ricky Ponting's brother.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
I mean, that's the next best thing. Can we get someone that looks like an actual celebrity, not a celebrity sibling?
Yeah, it's not a bad effort. Thanks, David, for kicking us off. Renee from Port Hedland. Who did you get mistaken for?
Kathy Freeman.
Kathy Freeman. Were you going for a long run? Were you wearing a full-body tracksuit at the time, Renee?
No, I was at the bus station and I was going to buy something from one of those little stores, and he asked me, "Are you Kathy Freeman?" And I was like, "Ah, no."
No.
Oh, you should have went with it, Renee.
15 years younger than what she is.
Oh, yeah, true. That's very true. And then you ran off.
That's an example. Yeah, you've always got to be careful.
Love that. Let's go to Leah in Donnybrook. Who are you mistaken for?
Molly Ringwald.
Oh, I love her. 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Riverdale, for the younger people listening as well. Yeah. Just bring it for the young people.
So, wait, she is very, very famous, especially like in the 80s and 90s. Mm. So do you really, really look like her? Were there multiple people?
No, so this is when she was the highlight of her time. So
absolutely.
I'm about the same age. We same colour hair. And I'm sort of looking and I think, why are they asking me this? Same shape face. I've got blue eyes. She's got brown eyes. I think, oh, okay, yeah, I can sort of see it. But when you have people just stare at you and then you get the odd one coming up to you and it's like, I'm going, this is really,
I'm used to it, to be honest with you, Leah.
Leah, did you ever correct people or did you just go with it?
One time I did say, well, I think I've just found out I'm one of the love child of the mother. I'm not really sure. And they're going, oh, really?
Ah, you can just keep that going. Thank you, Leah. Yeah. Let's wrap it up with Dave from Albany. Dave, who are you mistaken for?
Yeah, The Rock, hey?
Oh, here we go.
Yes. Oh, Dave. Is it the muscles, Dave?
Well, I don't think so, mate. I think I've still probably got my winter coat on.
So you're The Rock when he's not performing in action movies, maybe
on
the off season.
Hey, Louise. I was quite I was almost offended though because I think he's ugly.
Dave's better
looking
than The Rock.
There's worse people to be compared to. So, how far has this gone? Have people actually stopped you for a selfie?
Yeah, no, not that far. But guys stopped me in the shop. In fact, he was the owner of a bottle-o and. It also happened in Perth at another bottle, so I guess they're possibly consuming the same product.
Well, there you go, Dave, or as I'm going to start calling you, the pebble. Smell what you're cooking. Dave, thanks for that, and thanks for all those calls. And once again, and just to relate to everyone, Brad Pitt for me.
It must be hard, mate. Must be hard.
Well, it is. It's really difficult. We've already talked about it in the show before when it comes to cooking. Lord Russell, your husband, does majority of the cooking for your sake.
He is king of the kitchen. It's his domain. In fact, when I'm in there, he's more annoyed at me. Like, what are you doing in here? He loves it.
Julia and I, we're the opposite. She does most of the cooking, to be honest with you. She's better at it, to be honest. Like, I can cook. I can hold my own. But she's, if I want something really good, I'm going to get her to do it most of the time. But when I do get in there, and a lot of the time I've noticed it's been a Friday afternoon thing where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do dinner tonight. I'm going to put an effort in, make something a bit exotic, you know. I get a little bit carried away. I've been noticing that I just have this trend. So remember when slow cookers were really a thing? This is ages ago.
Oh, you know what? I still use my slow cooker weekly. Yeah. It is the best. Yeah, because for my dog's food.
For your dog's meat. Yeah, that's right.
She likes it tender.
Yeah. Well, I don't use it for my dog's food because I don't have a dog. But at one point, I was just like, I'm going to slow cook everything. Like, you know, I went from like all sorts of like briskets to silver side to whatever. I was slow cooking. I was a slow cooking champion. Mm. And I was like, Alan, you got to calm down. You just,
especially as a vegetarian, you can over slow cook veggies to the point where they just end up as
mush.
Soup.
They have this mush. And then you just get a stick blender in there. Yeah. Bam.
Oh,
so
God.
I've done it because I get carried away. And then when I got an air fryer a couple of years ago, Ooh, baby. I was on that train as well. I would air fry everything. I would look at things and go, can I air fry you? And then I would. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. But I just got carried away. And then last Friday, same thing again. So I noticed there's a deal on cauliflowers. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a ton of cauliflower rice. It's just, you know, blended up cauliflower.
Yeah.
But it's healthy, right?
Yeah.
It's a good substitute. I mean, it's not a good substitute. Let's be real, ladies and gentlemen. But it's a substitute.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'm going to make a ton of this. I couldn't be bothered getting the proper blender out because it doesn't quite get it to the fine consistency that I want. But I do have a Nutribullet. Do you remember those?
Oh, they were a thing for a moment in time.
I used to use all the time.
I thought they were more known for smoothies.
Yeah, but they've got a really good blender bit on them. But it, unfortunately, it means they can only do about maybe 500 grams of cauliflower rice at a time. But that's okay. I've got time, baby. So I am just blending the absolute bejesus.
I don't know why, but this makes me feel unwell.
Why? It's a bunch of cauliflower.
Blending up cauliflower, like you're getting a weird mush consistency, right?
Yeah, but then you dry it out and you bake it and it makes it all nice. Yeah, it's good. You're a vegetarian. This is what you live on. What are you talking about?
No, I have a line.
No, this is delicious when you do it right. It's good for pizza bases. No.
I feel like maybe if you can't chew properly and you eat dinner at 5 o'clock.
I can't believe you have a problem with cauliflower rice. Now, that's a new one. I'll write that down. But anyway, I'm making a ton of this and I'm just, you know, I'm getting carried away. Cauliflower's everywhere, shards of it everywhere. I'm nailing it. And then I'm like, all right, well, it's time to actually do the dinner part. I've done the prep and done all this stuff for weeks worth of cauliflower rice. Yeah. So I've got the Nutribullet already out, you know. So I start cooking up a bit of steak, you know. I look at the Nutribullet. I'm like, oh, I couldn't do anything with that. That's silly. That's silly. And then I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Because I had a bit of red onion left. I'm going to just Nutribullet that. And make almost like a, like in the restaurants, you always see them kind of do a smear on a plate, a cool like.
Oh my God, you are ruining food. And I love food. Like you are making me hate food.
And so I'm like, I'll just put this in and see what happens. Hey, what happens, happens. And I'm hoping for like almost like a, now in retrospect, I was hoping for a beetroot kind of consistency color situation. Instead, what I ended up getting was this kind of pink bubbly froth.
Yeah.
And what's worse is I didn't want to waste it. So
I cooked this like, no.
I do this like, you know, I think it did salmon actually. I don't think it was steak. I did like a salmon, crispy skin on a bed of cauliflower rice, some steamed veg to the side. Now, and I'm like, well, I'm going to use this red onion froth. And I can just kind of smear it on. And it kind of looks like, you know, when a big storm's come in and that weird bubbly froth that's all over the beach. It was just like that sitting next to this food. And it was delicious. Yeah. But I've got to I get carried away. I've just got to like go, no, Alan, you've done what you've wanted with that instrument. Put it down and just go back to basics.
After years of trying many different diets and to curb my eating habits, I think you've just done that in one sentence. I don't think I want to eat food for a long time.
Well, close your eyes because I brought it in, baby. Red onion froth for everyone. No? All right. Just for me. Nom. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and this worldwide sensation is finally coming to Australia, Alone Australia. Basically, Carly, imagine 10 people dropped in the middle of the wilderness, you have no comforts, no phone, anything like that, and you have to survive for $250,000.
Absolutely not. I've seen the US version of this, and I can't think of something I would rather not do than this.
I could do a lot of reality TV shows. Don't think this one. However, on the phone right now, we have one of the 10 people who are going to be doing this. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
First question, obvious question, why? They literally give you nothing and you've got to like do a self-documentary style and survive.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I guess I'm all about, you know, like pushing my boundaries, and that's where I find like the largest personal growth when you, you know, you step outside your comfort zone.
You do have like 5-year military career behind you. You have a PhD, so you're not an idiot. But still, that doesn't quite answer the question of why.
I guess I wanted to show my daughter that the outdoors is a place for women.
Okay. Oh, well, I think that's a great reason. Kate, one thing that I struggle with watching with the US version is, and I don't even know how to put this delicately.
The killer.
I'm a vegetarian. You actually are someone that is a wildlife biologist. So not only you probably know the best sources of food. Did you try and leave the living things alone and live off the bush?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've spent a career looking after our native species, and that's just something that I didn't want to be doing, clubbing to death a wallaby or something on telly. It's not really my vibe. So, yeah.
How does it go when you're alone and it's just you, middle of nowhere, no end in sight either? Like, how do you mentally deal with that?
I can't even explain it. And I think that's something that I wish everyone could get a taste of, because in our modern life, we're always on, we're on, you know, Instagram and all these sort of inputs, and just suddenly poof, that just all goes and there's nothing, not even a smile or a nod to show that you're doing a good job. Like, I found that incredibly challenging.
What's different about this versus Survivor is you are genuinely self-filming this. Not only do you have to have a whole new range of skills to survive in the wild, but you also have to become a camera operator and documentary maker. Is this legit? Like, do they genuinely never intervene? Because they would need to get the footage, right?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, like, I was impressed because, you know, I'm a fan of the US show and I was actually impressed. They're not, like, sniffing around every day, you know, like, following you or, you know, doing too much. They give you a heap of training at the start and then they're like, off you go. Here's your battery pack. Keep everything charged up and good luck.
That would be heavy.
Yeah.
And yes, I know.
Can I say though, duty of care, like surely you get a call from a producer or something. I don't know. We haven't heard from you in 10 days. Are you still alive? Surely.
Yeah. Look, they have like special tracking devices on us to make sure we're still moving, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Like if I was still in my tent at say 11, they might come out and say hello.
Well, in the past, they've pulled contestants because they've lost too much weight. They've had issues with that situation. That's obviously a risk as well.
Absolutely. And I found that really scary, to be honest, because I don't know, I haven't got a set of scales. Like I know I can look at my body, I can, you know, think I'm doing okay, but that was a scary part of it. Actually, I found that mentally difficult.
Yeah.
Now, Kate, I'm a very jumpy person. I think I listened.
I am too.
Okay. Well, that's good to know because I feel like the moments I think about is in the dead of night and you hear a rustling in the bushes. Now, you more than anyone studying wildlife know that that could be something coming to kill you.
Well, I mean, the joy in Australia, we don't have bears coming to eat us, but yeah,
Tasmanian tiger, they're
exactly
out there, right, somewhere.
Know, right? And so, like, even with devils, right, like, I've never really done much camping in Tassie, so one thing I did is I just YouTube, like, their call, because I knew that I had terrifying call. I didn't want to be in the middle of, like, oh, what is that?
Because
like,
it's not a subtle sound, is it? They're like, oh, noise.
Yeah, I had to, like, desensitize myself to those sorts of things, because I didn't want to be, like, sitting there scared every night. And, like, seriously, like, it got dark about 4:30 at night. It was about 14 hours of dark.
Oh my god.
Hey, well, it sounds like it's going to be unbelievable. We can't wait for it. Alone Australia kicks off March 29th, 7:30 on SBS. Kate, I cannot wait to see how you go, and more importantly, how many animals you have to kill.
You'll be like, yes, she broke. She broke.
All right, day three, you'll be looking at a wallaby going, oh, like, oh, come here.
I'll just eat the baby.
No. I love Kate. No. They're getting Kate on every week. Thanks, Kate. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Alan and Carly. Alan, I'm in the midst of trying to buy a house. I prematurely announced that I had bought one on the show.
You did.
Didn't realise that what follows that announcement is a whole heap of paperwork, back and forth and that type of thing. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Approvals.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's looking positive, but again, I should not have announced it just yet.
Way too premature.
Way too premature. I thought I was instantly going to be standing in front of a sold sign.
Yeah.
Still got to wait for that Facebook post.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have been on Marketplace in anticipation for the move because I'm like, I'm going to do a whole different vibe. I'm very excited, looking out for a bargain because we're going to be doing a few little renos.
Yeah. I heard you're going to take a wall out. Is that true?
Yeah. That'll be a fun day.
Please get a professional.
I've watched enough of The Block to really just be able to take things on.
All right.
But anyway, so when we actually originally looked at the open house, there was this, like, there wasn't a lot of furniture in there, but there was one couch in there and it was like this really vintage, like you don't really see these couches. It was like a low velvet mustard colored couch. Like something, it's like something you would see in like a cool, like jazz bar.
Sounds
or
like
something.
A 70s nightmare. Ew.
It looks really, really cool.
Okay.
And I remember at the time at the open house commenting on it being like, oh, does the couch come with the house?
Yeah.
Like, anyway, cut to yesterday, I'm on Marketplace and I see that very couch put up for free. And then I recognize the lounge room and I'm like, oh my God.
It's the place.
It's the place.
That's
it's
awesome.
The couch. It's meant to be. So immediately I contact them and I'm like, hey, I'm the girl that's buying the place.
Yep.
I would love the couch and you can just leave it there for us.
Easy peasy, beautiful cover girl.
Then I see that the guy has read the message and he's not responding.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I wonder why he's not responding. That's interesting.
Already gave it away.
Yeah. And then Russell comes home and this has like been a couple of hours since I've sent the message. And I'm like in anticipation. I'm like, oh, we're going to get this couch. Aren't we going to get the couch? This solves his problem. No one has to come pick it up.
Yeah.
It's free.
It's win-win.
And Russell's like, you didn't, did you? And I said, what? And he goes, didn't you read in the contract that you're not allowed to contact the people you're buying the house off directly?
Oh, aren't you?
I didn't know this was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
And I was like, what?
It's like a dirty deal or
something. Yeah, and Russell's like, oh my goodness, like maybe that's why he didn't reply. Maybe he knows the rules.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm freaking out. So I unsend it.
Oh, no. Okay.
I unsend the message. I'm like, delete all evidence.
Yep.
Unsend. I don't want to null and void this contract.
Even though he's already seen it.
And then Russell was like, what if the guy knows that we want the couch and he uses it as a bartering deal now? He knows he's got something over us.
A free couch.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Russell's
calm
going
down,
to
Russell.
Extremes.
I mean, between the two of you, you guys are insane.
We are. So I'm like getting super nervous and I'm like, God damn, what if we lose this over a silly little couch?
Yeah.
Because I don't know the ethics involved here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was trying to dig around for answers. Google's not clear. So I think what's happened, and we have filled out so much paperwork over the last month, so it's hard to know where Russell thought he read this. But what the conclusion we've come to is, I don't think it can like ruin the sale of the house. But I think it's classified as unethical.
Oh, well, you live in that area. That's
exactly.
Your house.
So I think I've been a little unethical here by contacting the guy.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've voided the sale. I hope not.
Yeah.
Imagine if it come down to the couch.
Over an ugly mustard couch.
Ugly. And even Russell said, that couch ain't worth it.
Nothing's worth it.
And you know what? Russell didn't love that couch.
No, of course not. He has taste.
So I'm wondering if he's created this whole scenario so he doesn't end up with the ugly mustard couch.
He's a smart boy.
He's a smart man.
Very smart man.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.